Friends, grace and peace to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the last few weeks, my family has been helping my in-laws move from the home that they have lived in for over 30 years down the road to a condo still here in the same town. Now, I did the math this last week, and in my life, I have had no fewer than 14 different mailing addresses. So I'm kind of accustomed to moving. But I have been reminded over the past few weeks of how exciting and hopeful and kind of fun, but also how traumatic and exhausting and anxiety-producing it is to move, to pack up your whole life, make those tough choices about what to give or throw away and what to take with you, to decide how to go from one place to another. It's really hard work. And so this last week, I was thinking about all of the stuff that we have poured over in their home, and all of the ways in which that house has been marked by their presence over the last 30 years. My brother-in-law, as we were packing up stuff and putting things in boxes and then unpacking in the condo, he was taking pictures to post on Instagram, over 20 different pictures of places in that home that reminded him of things that they had left behind, things that they could not take with them, ways in which their presence in that place had marked that place and the ways in which that place had marked them as well. In the basement, there's this kind of secret hideaway under the basement stairs where my brother-in-law and his friends as children would play and would hide and would write on the underside of the steps and would stick stickers from cereal boxes and magazines and hang up baseball cards of the great all-stars of the late 80s Milwaukee Brewers. I'm not sure if you had any all-stars in the late 80s. Well, I didn't recognize any of them, but I'm not from around here. But anyway, they were there. Those are things you can't take with you. And of course, there is that obligatory door jamb that is marked with hatch marks and numbers and names of all three kids as they were measured each and every year, that shows how indeed all three of them literally grew up in that home. The places we go mark us, and we mark them. And so I was heady with all of that stuff as I was reading again this text from Genesis chapter 12 for this day. It tells the story of what the Bible often calls the call of Abram or the call of Abraham and Sarah. The time when God plucked out of obscurity this family from one place and called them to go to another. And along the way promised that they would be blessed. Now, this story is incredibly formative for our lives as people of faith. These are our ancestors in the faith, and it tells us very important things about who we are. It tells us that we are sojourners, that we are always on the way from here to there, that we never quite belong in one place, for our citizenship is not here, but is in fact in heaven. And as such, deep in our DNA, we are a people of welcome, for we know what it is to rely on the welcome of others. We are people who extend welcome to refuge because we need to be refuged ourselves. It's a powerful story of what it means to not really belong anywhere, but to trust in the grace and the mercy of God along the way. But I was struck by this story, because if you were to tell the story about God's call to Abram and Sarah, you could tell it fairly simply, right? I mean, this was a short reading, thanks be to God. Last week was exceptionally long, right? You only got 9 verses today. But it could have been even shorter. Right, the writer of Genesis could have said, and then God called Abram and Sarai from Ur of the Chaldees, which is somewhere in what is modern-day Iraq, and said, you're going to go over here. And God called them to journey to what is Canaan, or what is today called Israel. A fairly simply journey. You're going from here, you're going to there. And yet, if you paid attention, in this tiny little reading of 9 verses, there were no fewer than 8 different place names, either named or at least implied. 8 different places in 9 short verses in which our first ancestors pitched their tents, got their bearings, depended on the welcome of others, saw where they were coming from and where they were going. And in at least 2 places, they built an altar. They piled up stones as a place to meet God, to give thanks to God, to be encountered by God, to be reminded of who God is and what God is doing for them. They built an altar. Now, in my life and in my ministry, I've been involved in lots of different building projects. New churches, church expansions, church remodeling. I've lived in several homes in which we have remodeled multiple different times. And it struck me this week that unless you're a professional home flipper, right, like you just invest in real estate, chances are if you're going to invest the time and the resource and the energy in building something or changing the place in which you dwell, you're not planning on moving the next day. Right? You want to enjoy the fruits of your labor. You want to stick around for a while. You want to make your mark. And yet, in this story, in both places in which Abram and Sarai and their family built an altar, piled up stones as a place to commemorate where God had met them, almost immediately, they moved on, off to their next adventure, off to the next place to which God was calling them. I mean, who does that, right? Who invests the energy to build something only to move on the next day? Well, it seems to me that from this brief story of our ancestors' sojourn, we learn at least 3 things. The first is that indeed we are always, always, always a people on the move. We are always being called from one place to another. We are rarely called to stick in place for long. As this story unfolds over the next weeks and months, we will see God's people move all over the globe. We are not citizens of this place, but rather our home is elsewhere. Our home is in the blessing and the promise of God. And so we are always strangers in a strange land, always people moving from one place to another, called to walk gently in the world, to be conscious of our neighbors, to be generous to those fellow travelers. The second thing is that wherever we go, on all of these different journeys on which God calls us, we always leave a mark. We always leave something of ourselves behind. We are changed by the places we stop, and the places in which we stop change us. And so we are called to be conscious of the traces we leave behind. What will people say of us when they encounter this pile of stones, this place in which we walked? And so we are reminded that on this day, God called to Abram and Sarai and said, indeed, you are blessed. You are mine. You are chosen. You belong to me. God pours out grace upon them, not because of who they were or what they had done, but because God is gracious. And then God says, and you are blessed in order to bless others. That through you, the world will be blessed. That everywhere you go, and you're going to go all over the place, everywhere you go, you will leave behind traces of my grace, signs of my mercy and love. Everywhere we go, we leave a mark. And we are reminded in this reading to be conscious of what we leave behind. And finally, we remember that the only thing that empowers and enables and equips us to be strengthened for this journey and to leave behind signs of God's grace and blessings and mercy is God's grace and blessing and mercy. Left to our own devices, we would move all over the globe and leave plenty of marks, but few of them would be worth remembering. But by God's grace, gathered around water, wine, wheat, and the word of promise, we are equipped and empowered to move through this world and leave behind signs of God's grace, showering our neighbors with blessings because we have been so richly blessed, giving to others because we have been so richly given by God. We are a people of promise, not because we are awesome, but because God is. And that, friends, is the whole point. This morning, as we gather for communion, there's a big box here full of stones. And we are inviting you to help us build an altar. We're going to place stones along the altar rail this morning. Now, a few years ago, 4 years ago, in fact, we did something similar. It was a different reading, a slightly different point, but we did something similar, and folks in this congregation wrote their initials or their names on these stones. And we kept them. And as I was preparing for this day, I wasn't just being cheap and deciding not to buy new stones. I wasn't just recycling for the sake of recycling. But I got those stones down from the shelf in which they were kept, and I started reading some of them. And I want to point your attention to a few of them. This one is Betty Dominey. Some of you don't know her because you're new sojourners on this journey. Some of you remember her. She lived a few blocks from here, and she finished her baptismal journey a few years ago. I was reminded that Ed Behmke was in worship that day. It might have been one of the last times he was able to journey here. He was laid to rest just 2 weeks ago. This one belongs to Joyce, and this one to Leah. Joyce lives in California, Leah in Arizona. This one says Lydia, but it's my handwriting because she was too little to write. And now her handwriting is way better than mine. All that is to say, we're always moving. We are always changing. And along the way, we are called to pause and to pile up stones and to give thanks to God for God's rich blessings along the way, for the ways in which God has graced us with God's presence and God's promise and called us forward to whatever happens next. And as we do this, we are conscious of the fact that we leave a mark, and we pray that the mark we leave is one of blessing. But we trust and we know that the only way in which we will leave behind good and gracious blessings is because God has placed God's mark on us. This is true for you, as it was for them, as it will be for whoever comes next. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.